Amen. Thank you, Allie and Titus. Great song. Aren't you glad God saves sinners? Amen. And thank God for that. Wonderful song. Take your Bible, please, this morning. Go with me to the book of John and chapter number 5 in God's Word this morning. The book of John and chapter number 5 in your Bibles today. God is good. Amen. God is good. A lot of wonderful things. You know, God is in our everyday life. Amen? God is in our everyday life. And you say, is God in my difficulties? Hey, that's when you need Him. Amen? That's when you need Him. You know, sometimes our human nature goes away from God when we need Him the most. Amen? And He'll be there. He'll be there if we go find Him and just seek Him, and He'll be there in every trial of our life. What a blessing. Praise the Lord. John chapter 5. Let's read this story here in the book of John, and trust that you'll follow along this morning as I read this passage of Scripture. The Bible says here, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, of halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into a pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now there a long time, in that case he said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." And Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for the word this morning, and thank you as we open it this morning. May we realize that it's the bread of life, and that, Lord, you are that bread and feeds us with thy word. Well, Lord, we just pray your blessings as we open the Bible this morning. We pray you speak to every heart today. We pray that you wouldn't leave any of us alone. But God, you work in our hearts and our minds. Lord, right where we live and right where we are, Lord, we pray. Lord, we most of all ask today that if there's one who does not know Christ as their personal Savior, God, would you help them to open their heart to you this day and receive you as their Savior? We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a story in the Bible, not just of healing, but it's a story of salvation. It's a story about a pool of water that they called Bethesda. And God at some point in time had this pool here. A great amount of people were waiting at this pool. And they were all waiting to be healed. Now, there was a lot. The Bible says there were some blind people there. There were some people that were withered there. Maybe their hands or their feet were withered. The Bible says that there were some that were impotent folk. They were powerless. It means they had no strength to walk or stand. And the Bible says they were waiting for something. They were waiting for the moving of the water. Now, previous to this, God had allowed an angel to come down and trouble the water. And by the way, this is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came down, and the Bible says he troubled the water. And a lot of this passage of scripture is a picture of something spiritual that goes on in our life. And so this water here was moved. And so people here who had these diseases, and they were waiting by the pool, because as soon as the water was stirred, so to speak, the first one that put their foot or their hand in was healed. Now, let me stop right here and say that, you know, God cares about the spiritual things in our life. And this is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And see, the Holy Spirit comes to our life, and the Holy Spirit is the one who speaks to our heart and convinces us of our needs. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. And so this is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And so there, so picture like you and me are waiting around this pool, and the Holy Spirit comes and speaks, and boy, we want to get in on that immediately. Amen? We want to put our foot in first. I'm going to sit there with Gene, and I'm going to push Gene away, and I'm going to put my feet in first. Amen? Just thought I'd let you know. Amen? In other words, the Holy Spirit is there, and the Holy Spirit wants to do things in our life. Can I tell you, God wants to do things in our heart and in our life. God wants to take our lives and make them whole again. And he's not just talking about physical health. He's talking about the Holy Spirit moving into our heart and our life. And we want to be the first one to be a part of that. I think when the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart in church and tells us of our need to be saved, we ought to run down that aisle, not walk down that aisle. I believe we ought to be the first one to put our foot in there. I want to be the first one to see what God can do in my life. Thank God for the day you got saved. And by the way, there is a specific time and a place when people get saved. You know, some people think salvation's a process. Salvation's not a process, and we'll see that in a little bit. Because if it were a process, it'd be you doing it. It's not a process. It happens right when that foot gets in the water. Amen. Just like that, the Holy Spirit puts eternal life into you and I through his Holy Spirit. And so that's a picture of the understanding of what we're talking about. You know, and many of the healings in the Bible are not just pictures of physical healing. They are pictures of the need of spiritual healing in our lives. You see, you and I are spiritually lame. We are spiritually unable to come to an almighty God. We try to climb the ladder to reach God, but we never find him. We never get him. We are spiritually lame. And we're spiritually lame because sin has kept us down. But when a person gets saved and trusts Christ as their Savior, the sin is washed away in the blood of Christ. And the Bible says our sins are buried in the deepest sea and remembered no more. Amen. So we're talking about a spiritual change here. But now the passage shifts to one man who's individual here. The Bible says that this one man, he was sitting here, he was waiting at the edge of the water because he was going to be the first one to put his foot in. And he's waiting because he wants to be healed. And I want you to notice here something about this man. The Bible says here that this guy, this man had this infirmity, and when he came to Jesus, He said, I can't quite be the first one. Should that angel come down and speak? He's saying, I can't be that first one. Somebody else is going to beat me to the punch. And their life is going to be changed, but mine isn't, because I can't get there quick enough. Can I tell you, there's some people in life who kind of think spiritually like this man. They say, I can't be one of those Christians. I can't really know God. I'm not a very religious person. Can I tell you what? You don't have to be religious to find Jesus. You just have to be willing and open-hearted to find Jesus. And you'll find him. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. God will help the seeker. But notice this hopeless feeling that he felt. He was thinking, I can't get there fast enough. Did he want to be healed? Sure he did. But he had this hopelessness down deep inside of him that he couldn't be the first one there. You know, I think a lot of people think somehow that they're not good enough for God or that God will not accept them. Hey, I want to tell you something. That's false. There is a God whose love and salvation can be granted to anyone at any time who is willing to open their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no need for hopelessness. No need. No need for hopelessness. And he was sitting in this condition. And I want you to notice something about this guy. There's something very interesting about him in verse 5, and I want you to see what the Bible says. It says, and a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. Now, we don't know exactly what infirmity it was, but we know he couldn't walk or move because of it, but he had it for 38 years. How many of you can imagine not being able to walk for the past 38 years? That'd be tough, wouldn't it? We can't imagine that. But the Bible said this man had this infirmity. He couldn't walk for 38 years. And here's what's so interesting about the story is Jesus comes up to this guy and he asks him a question. Notice his question in verse number 6. He says, wilt thou be made whole? Now, wait a minute. He was already there waiting for this moving of the water. So he was obviously waiting to be whole, wasn't he? So what's the need for the question? Here's the need of the question. The need of the question is that this man had been there 38 years. He couldn't quite get to the pool. And he might have gotten to the place where he was hopeless that he could get his foot in that water. He might have gotten to the place where he said, you know what? I guess I'll just have to accept my infirmity. I'm just going to have to live with it. I live with it 38 years. I guess I can live another 20 or 30 years with it. I'll just have to deal with it the rest of my life. You know, there are a lot of people that say the same thing spiritually. A lot of people say, I've been this way all my life. I haven't needed God here. I haven't needed God there. You know, all my bills are paid. Everything's taken care of. I guess, you know, I'm fine. I'm just going to accept my lifestyle. I'm going to accept this till I get to heaven. I'll just take my chances when I get there. Can I tell you what? Don't take your chances. God came to this man and said, you've been in this condition a long time. Don't get comfortable there. Will you be made whole? Are you accepting the fact that you've been in this long haul all your life and that you're just going to die that way? You know, I think there's a lot of people who live in their 40s, 50s, maybe even 60s, and never darken the door of a church, and they're thinking, I'm as good as anybody. I'll make it. Surely if my neighbor across the street who goes to church makes it, you know, I'll make it. And that's why Jesus asked the question. Because the question is to seek a real answer of who it is that we can trust, no matter how many years of life have gone down the road. It's been a privilege of mine every once in a while to reach in and find somebody who's on their deathbed I went to a hospital one time, an ICU unit, and the family asked me to come in. I found a man there, and he was, they say, incapacitated. And I said, can he understand me? They said, we don't know. He might. So I reached down, and I took the man's hand. He was incapacitated, and tubes and electrodes and things all over him in the final hours of his life. But they said he's going to die. And I took his hand, and I said, sir, I don't know if you can hear me, but I'm a pastor of a church, and I care about you, and I care about your soul, and I want to give you some good news of Jesus Christ today. And I told him how he lived a life, and we were all sinners. And I told him how there's a penalty and wage for sin, but that Jesus, in his grace and mercy, came and died on that rugged cross for us so that we didn't have to pay the price of our sins, and that if all we did was reach out to him and ask him to save us and mean it with all our heart, he would come in and save us. And I said, sir, I don't know if you understand anything I say, but if you understand anything I say, would you just squeeze my hand? And there was this really gentle squeeze on my hand. Can I tell you what somebody who's been in sin all their life needs to do? Squeeze my hand. Squeeze my hand. Because you see, you may have lived a long time in life and not received Christ, but it ain't over till it's over. God wants to call you, and he comes to you, 50, 60-year-old people who've never darkened the door of a church or never even knew anything about a church or God or a Bible. But he comes to you and he asks you this question. Will you be made whole? Do you want to be made whole again? You see, there's something about human nature that lapses into our comfort zone, whether it's a good comfort zone or not. You know, I visited homes and there's an old chair sitting there. And there's an old man sitting in that chair. And, he's been sitting in that chair since 1948. That's his chair, right? How many got a chair like that at your house? You got one? I got news for you. It's time for a new chair. Amen? It's time. But he don't want a new chair. He's comfortable in that old thing. And the cat has ripped that thing up. And the leather is all cracked and broken on it. He's embarrassed of it, so he uses a blanket to cover up the back part of it. And he don't want anybody to see it. When the preacher walks in the door, he throws a blanket over the old chair, and stuff like that. But it goes to show us our human nature. Sometimes we just find this place where we are comfortable. But let me tell you something. There's a danger, if you don't know Christ, to find this place where you think you're comfortable. You may have been in this condition all your life, like this guy, 38 years, and he's probably like, But there is a God who wants you to come to him and be saved. Amen. It's not too late to find God. You just have to understand you'll never find him in that comfort zone where you're sitting in. You got to open your heart to an almighty God and ask him to come in and save you. I don't care how long you've been in that. It doesn't matter how long you've been sitting in that spiritual easy chair. It's time to rise up and put your faith in God and trust him, because there's coming a day when it'll be too late. Too late. The rich man in Luke chapter 16 found out one day. It was too late. It was too late. And when he arrived in hell, as the Bible describes, when he arrived there in hell, it was so hot and so burning, he said, send someone that they would go and tell my brethren, for I have five brethren. He said, by the way, they're soul winners in hell. There are people in hell who don't want you to go there. There are people in hell who are saying, send somebody to my brother. to my sister. God is saying, send somebody who's in that easy chair. You're 50 years old, you're 60 years old, and you've been sitting in that spiritual easy chair all this time. Wilt thou be made whole? Amen. That's the question Jesus is asking. You can lapse back into the mentality of your comfort zone, and you can feel like nothing's ever going to happen. I got news for you. One day you're going to die. One day you're going to die. And when you die, there's not going to be a beer party down there. Ain't happening. Ain't happening. When you die, and it's going to be too late someday. It's going to be too late someday. So God is trying to stir you who have never received Christ. 50, 60 years old, 70 years old. You've been impotent in that thing for a long time. It's time to take up that bed and walk. Amen. That's what God's trying to tell us. Wilt thou be made whole? You know, some people reach a comfort zone where they're not willing anymore. It's too hard. I can't become a religious person now, they think. God's not asking you to be religious. God's asking you to open your heart to a God who loves you and will save you. Amen. If you'll trust Him. Preacher, I've lived in this condition for the past 40 years. I'm A-OK. Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? Now, I don't care how long you've been in a condition. I don't care how long you've been in a place. I don't care how long you've lived without God. It's time to rise, take up your bed, and walk. It's time. But the question is, are you so much in your comfort chair? Are you in that easy chair, in that place in life where you just... You're done with trying the religious thing. Or you tried it and all you got was some emotional feeling out of it. Or you did that when you were a kid and, you know, God didn't do much for you. Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? I think it's wonderful when a child comes to the Lord. But I think it's so wonderful when a 50-year-old man, a 60-year-old woman walks down that aisle and says, I've been without Christ all my life. I need you. I was in a hospital in Longview, Texas, out in the waiting room. Prayed with a man in the waiting room. And then I went out and sat with his sister. His sister was 70 years old. Very nice lady. We had a good conversation. And she was a Baptist. Oh, maybe we got something to talk about. So we sat there and we talked a little while, and I told her, I said, when did you get saved? And it didn't click. I said, when did you get saved? Well, I've been a Baptist. I've gone to church all my life. Hey, going to church can't make you a Christian any more than going into a garage makes you an automobile. I began to share the saving plan of Christ with that dear lady, 70 years old, Baptist. And something connected in her heart. When I told her and she acknowledged, she said, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm unsaved. And I told her, I said, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. When you ask Christ to save you, His blood is applied and He sees those sin no more. And the lights went on in her heart. I see, she said. I see that now. I asked her, I said, do you want to be saved? Trust Christ. We prayed right there in the waiting room, Good Shepherd Hospital, and that dear lady got saved. You see, she could have trusted that she was a Baptist and lived in her comfort zone, sat in her easy chair all her life. and never gotten saved. I really wonder how many people are Baptists that aren't saved. And we're hanging on to a tag rather than a Savior. And may I tell you what? Jesus comes to you today and he asks you a very heart-convicting question. Wilt thou be made whole? You see, he can do the saving, but you have to be the willing one. You have to say, yes, Lord, I've been in this state all along, but I'm trading in my easy chair. I'm going down to the furniture store today, and I'm bringing back that chair because now I can walk. I found Jesus. I found the Lord as my Savior. Hallelujah! Pull the tag off when you get there, amen? There's only one thing that's going to matter. What you done with Jesus? Is he in your heart today? Have you ever received him? Well, preach, I don't need to do that. I've been fine all my life. You won't be on that day. When they take your body and roll it in here and we move this away, we open it up and we look at your body. Are you that kind that went from your easy chair into the casket? Don't let it happen to you. 40-year-old, 50-year-old, 60-year-old. I'm fine. Life's good. I got a good job. The money is there. I don't need anything. Yes, you do. You're lost without Christ. You cannot move. You're in that comfort zone, and you got to get saved before it's too late. Amen. 38 years he was sitting by that pool, almost gave up. But look at what else happened. Jesus saith, verse 8. Did you see that? Jesus saith. That's all we need, Jesus to speak. That's it. We got the right person and the right words. Jesus saith. It doesn't say Buddha saith. It certainly don't say Muhammad saith. Amen. It don't say good work saith. It doesn't say my good life, my easy chair saith. Oh, it's so comfortable, preacher. Yeah, that's your problem. It's time to trade that old chair in and get saved and trust Christ. You've been in that infirmity so long, you've given up on Christ, haven't you? You don't know where he is, and you've given up on him. You know, when he knocks on your heart, you kind of get this coating over your eyes. Yeah, I've heard that before. I've been there before. Don't do it. Open your heart today. Trust Christ before it's too late. Because one day, he will look at you and say, depart from me. I never knew you. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen, 50-year-old man. Don't let it happen, person who's never darkened the door of a church and you're listening online. Don't let it happen to you. Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? Here's your answer. Verse number 8. Jesus saith unto him, rise. Woo! Resurrection in the soul. And by the way, it wasn't the water that did it now, was it? It was Jesus' words himself. Hey, all you need is the words of Jesus. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the promise of God. Amen. And you've been in that easy chair so long, that promise just kind of like coats over, just kind of glazes over. Yeah, whatever. Don't let it happen to you? Wilt thou be made whole, he said. When Jesus says, rise, he wants to take that old man inside of you. He wants to save and put his new nature inside that old man. Oh, yeah, he does. Rise! Rise! You know, I believe there are some people in their teens and 20s that God knocks on their heart to get saved. And time again, they say no. No, some other time. Later, preacher. I'll do it down the road when I get around to it. When I feel it. They pass their teens, their 20s. They pass their 30s. And then by the time the 40s and 50s come, the preacher preaches the same message and they just got that glaze. Yeah, I heard that in my teens. Heard that in my 20s. And they're sitting in that chair the rest of their life, never doing anything about it. Don't let it happen to you. Amen. Open your heart today. Because Jesus said, rise. Get up. That's all you need is one word from Jesus. Rise. You know why we have an invitation after our service? Because it's time to rise. It's time to rise. It's time to get up out of that old chair and say, Lord Jesus, I've neglected you long enough. 38 years I've been sitting by this old pool. Ain't nothing happened to me. It's time to rise. Don't you think it's time to rise? Don't you think it'd do your wife or your husband who's been praying for you? Don't you think it'd be good for them to see you rise? He can walk now. Who's that guy? Is that old guy sitting down out of the pool? Man, I've seen him sitting there the last 38 years. He's walking. Something happened to that guy. What happened to him? Well, Jesus came by and said something to him. Because he said, yeah, I'd like to be whole. I'd like to be whole. Oh, dear friend, can I tell you, there's a God who loves you, who pleads with you every day. Here's a God who you may have passed many years of your life. So much time has gone by in your life, and maybe you've been in a church and somebody said something unkind to you, and you said, I'll never go back to church again. But there's a God. There's a God who loves you, and he wants you to be made whole. And that invitation we give is because it's time to rise up. Say, I'm not going to sit in that chair anymore. I need a trade-in model. I need a trade-in. Oh, there's a God that loves you, and he'll trade your old chair for some steps. I can walk. I can walk. I say to you today, who are financially secure, there's still a day coming. I say to you today, who are physically well, there's still a day coming. I say to you today who have friends upon friends upon friends, the day is still coming for you. That day is still coming. And would you to God today hear his voice say, rise up, take up your bed, and walk. Walk. Oh, listen, don't worry about what happened in the past. Maybe some past thing happened in your life. And for years, you've kind of drifted or wandered or whatever. Let me tell you something. God loves you. Amen. God cares about you. He hadn't forgotten you. He hadn't put you on the curb. He wants to take you off the bench and put you in the game. Amen. Because there's a God who asks this question, wilt thou be made whole? And I want to ask you today the same question, the search in your own heart. Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? If you're here this morning, we're going to have an invitation. And this invitation this morning, if you're serious and you're ready to get up out of that easy chair, and by the way, you are ready to get up. You say, how do I know? How do you know that, preacher? Because Jesus said, today's the day of salvation. Amen? Why don't you come? Why don't you be saved this morning? Haven't you put it off long enough? Hasn't too much time passed by? 38 years. Let's say yes to Jesus this morning. Would you do it? Would you do it? Let's bow our heads this morning.